Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Today, we want to look at the subject of fruit of the kingdom. We have been looking at this subject for the last 6 months. There are 12 fruits of the kingdom, and they are every month we want to remind ourselves of one fruit of the kingdom. Hallelujah. So if you read the book of Matthew chapter 21 verse 43, we're going to do a connection to the subject of fruits of the kingdom. The Bible says over there that, "Therefore I say to you, the kingdom will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruit of it." Means that the kingdom of God has got fruits. They are fruit of the kingdom. And if you read Revelation 22, the Bible tells us about the tree of life, which tree is actually the Lord Jesus. And this tree of life bears 12 fruits, each fruit for the 12 months of the year. It's wonderful. That means that God wants the fruits of the kingdom to be exemplified in our earth life. As long as there's time, and you live in a month, you live in a year, you live in a week, you live in days, you live in hours, you live in minutes, the fruit of the kingdom is relevant to you. Most especially those of us who believe that we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son, we have to bear the fruit of the kingdom in which we are. So it's important and wonderful for us to understand what these fruits are so that I can let it be seen in my life. If you are a believer, you can bear these fruits. You just have to have a certain understanding. Just to know, for example, that once the tree of life is in you, Jesus Christ is in you, you have to allow him to bear his fruit through your life. So that it's like somebody assuming you and living his life through you. So there is virtually no effort on your part at all, so to speak, you know. But an understanding is going to make what you do to bear the fruit almost seem like effortless. Although you are doing something, there is an action on your part, it will be effortless because there is somebody who is working inside of you to let these fruits be seen in your time life or your earthly life. Hallelujah. Don't postpone these things to the kingdom future, because some people, they hear about the kingdom of God and they think about, yeah, it's tomorrow or maybe when Jesus Christ comes again. It ain't like that at all. Hallelujah. It starts from now and we go into the kingdom future. So one of the fruits of the kingdom that we are going to look at today is kingdom prosperity. Kingdom prosperity is fruit. When we talk about fruit generally, I should say, we are talking about character. We are talking about a certain nature. It's nature that you must have, you know. If you believe that the kingdom is within you and you are living in the kingdom of his dear son, then you are thoroughly a kingdom bred. The kingdom is in you. You are in the kingdom. What are you? You must produce abundance of these fruit. Just as a sign that you are a kingdom person in which the kingdom of God is, you know. So, fruit is talking primarily about character, because Jesus Christ, who taught about the kingdom of God, who actually brought to us the kingdom of God, taught that fruit is character when he said that by their fruit you shall know them. And not everybody, well, in that day they will say, "I cast out devils and I did miracles and I prophesied and those things." And he says, "I don't know you, you're a worker of iniquity." He was inferring that your character must show, not your works. W-O-R-K, like miracles must show, not your works. like we prophesy your name, must show your character, your way of life must show the fruit that he is looking for. Hallelujah. So in the kingdom system, listen very carefully to me. In kingdom system, kingdom prosperity is a character. It's a fruit. And I'm going to show it to you. It's important for you to understand these things, because when you do, then you allow God to bear this fruit through your life. Okay? Wonderful. Now, I want to begin this subject from the book of Matthew, that is kingdom prosperity, from Matthew chapter 28 and then verse 11. Very quickly, it's still an introduction. He says what? Now, whilst they were going, behold, some of the guards came into the city and reported to the chief priest all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers. Please underline, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, tell them, look at the message, tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away whilst we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ear, we will appease him and make you secure. Verse 15, so they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Which saying? The teaching. The saying that Jesus did not resurrect, but his disciples came to steal his body. That teaching, that saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. No wonder up till this time, only an insignificant fraction of Jewish people believe in the Lord Jesus and believe the resurrection that you so gloriously celebrate. You see, the reason they did not believe, one of the reasons why, as you say, they do not believe up till this time when I went among them, for some time when I was doing my studies there, I realized that the people, they don't have any respect for the Lord Jesus. You see, the Bible is giving us a certain background. It says that the background is that some people, they took money, large sum of money, and gave it to, is it the soldiers, that they should now say a certain teaching that he didn't resurrect, but that his disciples came to steal his body away. Ladies and gentlemen, as I end this introduction to kingdom prosperity, I want you to understand that the post-resurrection strategy of the devil, write it down, the post-resurrection strategy of the devil is to use money to muzzle the truth, is to use money to cover the truth. The truth is that Jesus is risen, but they use money to cover the truth that Jesus is risen and to propagate a falsehood, a deception, and a religious understanding that it is his disciples who came to steal his body away. Ladies and gentlemen, as long as this is commonly reported among the Jews to this day, it is still the post-resurrection strategy of the devil to use large sum of money to cover the truth. So what the devil does is that he will put money in the hands of people who are teaching wrong things. And the strategy, the reason is that once you see a large sum of money, will compromise the truth. You will continue to do what? Compromise the truth. Because money has a way of legitimizing falsehood. In other words, when you are preaching something which is false, but you seem to live so grossly, the falsehood appears like the truth. You seem to be prosperous in every aspect of your life, you know. Although you're teaching something which is a deception, which is religious in nature, because you have money, it will look like it's correct. Because many people will follow you because it looks like what you are saying is correct. They will look at your prosperity in every aspect of your life, and they will say, what he must be saying must be true. That is why the rich has many friends. Yeah, it's true. So listen, sometimes in the body of Christ, I don't understand why people take one thing that God has spoken to them and they generalize it for everybody. I'm saying this to make us know that up till today, the devil uses large sum of money to propagate wrongs like gayism, you know, like LGBT issues, to propagate things that we know are not according to the word of the Lord. I'm talking about the kingdom word. Once money is backing them, people sway. Once money is backing a wrong thing, a wrong ministry, so to speak, people sway to the place. You go and see crowd. Hallelujah. The post-resurrection strategy of the devil to muzzle the kingdom truth, Jesus is truly resurrected, is to use money. And to take money from those who are speaking the truth, that's what the devil will try to do. Take it away from them. Because when you are speaking the truth, but you don't seem to have money backing you, your life, nobody buys it. You look like a liar. Ladies and gentlemen, let us not give ourselves anymore to think that it is enough for us to go and say that Jesus is risen. It is, he is risen. It is true. It is, he is risen. The terrain has changed. Yes. The terrain is now that the devil backs falsehood with money. What does it mean? For you to counter falsehood is not just with mouth. For you to affirm that Jesus is truly resurrected and the power of God is there, we have to prove it. For us to say there is a glorious place called the kingdom of God and that there is no poverty there, we have to show it in our lives so that they look at us and they say, true, there is a place like that. This is a foretaste of that place. Hallelujah. I want us to understand, we can't just be stabbing ourselves in the back, the body of Christ, by saying, because I know that when you mention even the word prosperity, people are averse to it. It's like they are scratching. It's like they have allergy. Believers, why? Is poverty a good thing? The opposite of poverty is prosperity. Listen to me. If you are listening to me, take a vow of poverty. It is your vow, not my vow. It's not a vow of the church of the Lord.
Yes.
You have decided that you are going to live poor. Don't make any effort to get your needs met. Don't make God's promises that if I ask, I'll receive. Please. Live in poverty because you say God has spoken to you. Let the God who has spoken to you, the God of prosperity who has spoken to you, please obey him. And leave the body of Christ. Because generally, God wants people to live in prosperity.
Amen.
It doesn't mean that everybody will be prosperous. You understand that? Some people will not be, including you who have taken the vow of poverty. I respect that. If you have decided to do that. Okay? But don't put it on us. Don't put it on the church. The church cannot be poor. The church cannot be aloof and sit down every day and just do spiritual things, pray all the time. The battle has changed. And you need to understand the nature of the battle that we are fighting. After resurrection, you need to understand what is going on. Hallelujah. If God has gifted you, and there are people like that, gifted you to be a martyr, please go and die for Christ. Don't put it on me. If he gifted you to take a vow of poverty, please go ahead. We respect that. But don't make it a teaching for everybody and make people feel guilty that they are not martyrs. It's not everybody who is anointed to be a martyr. Anointed to do the things that you are claiming that everybody must do, and if they don't do it, they are not good believers. Stop that. You are not teaching well. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The post-resurrection strategy of the devil is to use like some to muzzle the truth, and so we need to do well to lift up the truth, to lift it up. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Wonderful. That's why I'm teaching you about kingdom prosperity. Because listen carefully to me. kingdom prosperity is a fruit. I know some of you are saying some things in your minds. It's because you don't know where I'm coming from. I'm teaching you the kingdom version of prosperity. Not the religious version of prosperity we have done all this time. And I'm telling you for a fact that the first thing about kingdom prosperity is that it is a fruit. Ladies and gentlemen, why do I call it a fruit? Or why does the Bible call it a fruit? It is called a fruit because it is a nature that can be generated everywhere. Really, what I'm doing, I'm going to start to give you 7 differences between kingdom prosperity and religious prosperity so that you can know the difference. Because some of us, for lack of maybe good understanding, we have jumbled everything together, giving the dog a bad name and allowed it to be crucified. That's not fair to what Jesus Christ died. One of the reasons why he was made poor on the cross.
The back bullet to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching, preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to Dominion Embassy Broadcast.
Hallelujah. Don't destroy it. Don't destroy it. So number one, write it down. Kingdom prosperity versus religious prosperity. Number one, kingdom prosperity is a fruit stroke part of a person's nature. It's a fruit or a character or a person's nature. It's a nature. Religious prosperity is the opposite. It is an activity. It is a state, I should say, that you get by an activity. Kingdom prosperity is a character. It is a nature that you have. A nature of prosperity. Nature of prosperity. This nature is you. This character is so much a part of you that they can take you from a prosperous place and put you in a poor environment. Do you know why? Because the thing is character. The thing is your nature. Religious people generate financial well-being or well-being, so to speak. You need an environment to create. Prosperity is a part of you. They can take you from the most prosperous economy and put you in the worst of economies, and because it is your nature to do well, you will see that you are doing well contrary to the environment, because your riches are supplied according to God's riches in glory. In glory. That's kingdom prosperity. There's riches in glory. God talking about in heaven. In the heavenly realm. Not according to the economy in which you are. Hallelujah. Amen. So you can do whatever you are. And that is what God makes of his children. He makes us so resilient that wherever we are, we do well. Religious prosperity is where prosperity is something that the person achieves or achieved times past. Religious prosperity is something that you achieve in times past. You see, and because of its transient nature, you know, because it's something that you achieved in times past, you are afraid you will lose it. It fills you with stress. It fills you with trepidation. You are waiting and you are wondering, will I lose this? You are full of pressure about your prosperity. Because you see, you fear that when you lose it, you cannot generate it again. But when it is your character, it is a kingdom type, you are not under any stress. You give it out, you know that you will generate it again. So you are not afraid to give. You are not afraid to give. You see, people are in need, you give abundantly. Because you are not afraid you can generate it. It's part of your nature. It's part of your character. And so giving, you are not impeded by your riches. In religious prosperity, you are impeded. In fact, your riches is actually controlling you. In kingdom prosperity, there is no fear. God doesn't add any fear to it. Although you are rich, you are just cool and collected, under no pressure at all. You can live where armed robbers are, but you are under no pressure at all. Because like Job, you can lose it, but you know that God can give it back to you. It's part of you. It's part of you. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Number two, religious prosperity is where you prosper in an aspect of your life and not holistically. Religious prosperity is where you do well in one aspect of your life or two, three aspects of your life, but it is not holistic. In other words, you don't prosper in all aspects of your life. In kingdom prosperity, you prosper in all aspects of your life. In every aspect of your life. Hallelujah. One aspect of your life may be lacking behind for some time. But very soon, the kingdom of God is a system. It is not compartmentalized. Very soon, the prosperity in your faith will spill over to your finances. Very soon, the prosperity of your mind will spill over to other aspects. Hallelujah. But the bottom line is that it is a holistic thing. It's a complete thing. 3 John 2, the Bible says over there that, beloved, I wish or desire or pray above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Ladies and gentlemen, for the benefit of the doubt, the word prosper is a Bible word. It's not a word that was invented by some financial analyst somewhere for us to be allergic to it. 3 John is only one chapter. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Over here, we see holistic prosperity. That's the kingdom version. You prosper in your marriage. You prosper in your finances. You prosper in your relationships. You prosper in your career. You prosper in your spiritual life. You prosper. All everywhere we turn you, the prosperity is linked. That's a kingdom type. Ladies and gentlemen, the kingdom type of prosperity is the highest desire of God for you. Amen. Kingdom system is the highest arrangement God has got for mankind. Not just in the kingdom future, but even now. The kingdom system, it is the best, it is the perfect arrangement God has got for us. Now he wants us to taste of this perfect arrangement. Just taste. Because we are going to eat it fully in the kingdom future. Hallelujah. Amen. But he says, can you imagine? God says that. Listen. Those of you, because you are averse to the word prosperity, you don't even understand 3 John 2. Listen carefully. God, the one who is most holy, who is most anointed, more anointed than you, thrice holy God, holy, holy, holy God. He says that his desire, there is no other desire above this desire for you. I know you are more spiritual than God, but listen to God. He says that there is a desire I have, and when I look at that desire, there is no other desire that I have which is higher than that. So he says, I desire above all things. Above every desire, I pray, I wish above every desire that I can have, that you will have holistic prosperity, that you will prosper. I know that is talking about financial, material prosperity, and be in health. That is talking about physical prosperity, your body being in health, even as your soul I know that it's talking about your will prospering. I know it's talking about your emotions prospering. I know it is talking about your mind prospering. How holistic can God be? If he tells you, I want your will. Do you know your will? It's talking about your desires. I want your desires to prosper. Because some people, they have got poverty desires. They have poor desires. They just have something small. They say it's okay. Yet they claim they have a God of abundance. A God of abundance who doesn't want to show up in my life in abundance. I don't know the kind of God that I have. I'm not saying that suddenly you have abundance. You understand that? That is not the teaching. You must have a certain mind. Even when you are poor, your mind must be rich. Your mind must be prosperous. I wish above all things that your mind will prosper. Your pocket may not prosper for status, but it says that your mind must prosper. Hallelujah. I was talking about your desires. Your desires must prosper. You must have spiritual desires. You understand that? It means that you must desire well-being, financial well-being, for example. I want your mind to have a financial well-being. I want your desire to have financial well-being. That's your will. The soul is made up of your will, your mind, and emotions. Your will. Some people don't will. They don't desire. Do you know what they have? They don't have a prosperous will. Pastor, you mean when I eat and my children also eat, it's okay. Jesus Christ, he didn't drive in a car. He was riding a donkey. Please go and ride a donkey. Yeah. Yeah. Take your children to school on a donkey. Mm-hmm. On anyone. Highway. That is why Jesus didn't say, copy me. He said, learn of me. Learn of me. Learn of me. Because you cannot import Jewish culture if you are copying wholesale and bring it into the Ghanaian culture and bring it into our modern society. Jesus didn't use microphone and so what? So we didn't use microphone. He didn't say, copy me. He said, learn. Learn of me. Because I am lowly in heart. And you find rest for your soul because my burden is light. Hallelujah. It is the religious system that loads you with high burden that even when God gives you 100 Ghana cedis, it feels like you have sinned. Poor will says, do you know what I desire for you above everything? There is no other desire. You say, oh, holiness. He said, I desire something above. I'm not saying holiness is bad. I'm talking to you in the context of this scripture. I desire above all things that you will have a prosperous will. You have a prosperous desire. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you know a prosperous emotion? The soul, even as your soul prospers, the soul is also, the emotion is also part of your soul. Emotion is talking about your relationships. There is a direct link between your emotion love and relationship, emotion like anger and relationship. Emotions practically is expressed when you are relating. Your will is your desire, your emotion is your relationships, and your mind. If you have a prosperous relationship in this world, very well networked in the world, that is God's desire for you. His desire above everything that is that you will relate well with people, not that you make a friend today and tomorrow because of some 50 Ghana cedis, you have broken the friendship. Because you know how that friend will help you and you need him in a year's time. Because the devil comes your way just to mess up your emotions. You become annoyed, and every day when you see the person, you don't greet the person anymore. Believer, you are greeting only those who greet you. And then you go to meet this person in an office. Or you are going somewhere, he's a cousin of somebody, and then he's with the person. And you need that favor from that person, and you went to meet this guy, you don't greet. Although you are a believer. Do you know that your emotion is not prospering? Do you know your relationships is bad? It says, above all things, I want you, that's why I put the world among human beings. I want you to relate well.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent toward you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already. Save me here and accept me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Lion Offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you.
Lord, I lift your name.